The Book of Wonders, Chapter 1, The Storyteller, Part 1. I heard the noise first, a howl which sounded like all the jinnies in the world were crying out as one. The sailor stared out at his audience, green eyes sparkling. I looked up to see the scaled underbelly of a beast, the width of a leathery wing, and I knew at once that it was... a dragon! Zardy shouted. The sailor frowned. Yes, a dragon, the great dragon Thurban, in fact, and was it big? Zardy asked eagerly. The sailor's chiselled face darkened with annoyance. Well, yes, as big as the Sultan's grandest ship. Thurban's tail alone was as long as... But could he breathe fire? Zardy queried. Will you be quiet? Someone behind her snapped. Stop interrupting the story. Zardy turned around to see the exasperated faces among the crowd that stood with her on the docks. Sorry, she mumbled, her cheeks warming with embarrassment. But she needn't have worried. She was already forgotten. Everyone was looking past her at the ship's captain who was telling the story. Thorban was here to do battle, the seafarer declared, leaping up onto his moored vessel. And I would not disappoint him. He strode over to the boat's falcon-shaped figurehead, his jewel-bright clothing a rippling flag in the breeze. He turned to face the crowd. I wrapped my hand in a roughly woven cloth, took a red-hot spit from the cook's fire, and climbed the mast. The sailor looked up to the sky and bared his teeth as if he could see the dragon circling above his head. Thorben lunged at me with a roar and I swung out, thrusting the glowing spit into the beast's eyeball. He smiled grimly. It exploded, with a sizzle and a pop, and then with a shriek, the dragon crashed into the sea. The captain's eyes gleamed with satisfaction. My dear listeners, Thorben was dead, but my adventure was not over yet. Zardy found herself leaning in closer as the seafarer's words became low and smoky, and for a moment imagined that she too was a member of the captain's crew, ready to start the next page of the quest. A map drawn by the ancient wizard Aria guided me to the caves of Kudrit. Even the knowledge that a beast, far worse than the dragon I'd just faced, guarded the magical treasures hidden there couldn't stop me. He thrust his shoulders back and tilted his head proudly. I am Sinbad the Sailor. When someone joins my crew, I promise them adventure, and by my soul, adventure I will give them. A few in the audience whooped at this, while others clapped in approval. Several of the female onlookers smoothed down the pretty silk scarves pinned to their hair and shot admiring glances at Sinbad. A grin split the captain's sun-kissed face. He bowed gallantly in the lady's direction and continued his tale. But Zardy found it impossible to hear him over the clapping and whistling. She scowled. It wasn't fair that she got told off for interrupting the story, when everyone else was now making such a racket. Listening was made even more difficult by the loud huffing noises that Rydon was making at her side. She knew her father's lord would rather remove his toenails than listen to tales like this. He was only here because she had begged him to stop and listen to the captain's story for a while before they went on to the market. She turned to him. Stop that, will you? Rydon's violet eyes were mutinous. We need to get the ingredients for tonight's feast. Don't you want to celebrate your birthday? Zardy glared at her friend, noticing for a moment how silver his spiky hair looked amid the sea of ebony tresses that surrounded him, like a star exploding in the night. We'll go in a minute. I just want to see how the story ends. Fine, let's stay. Rydon's lips became a thin line. I mean, it's not as if mentioning wizards or magic is forbidden in Arabitha, or we could get arrested by the Sultan's guard for even listening to this nonsense. He snorted and pulled anxiously on the silver amulet that hung around his neck. Oh wait, all those things are true. Zardy's gaze caught on the two engraved snakes that bordered Rydon's silver talisman, their sinewy length twisted around a plum-coloured stone, their mouths open as if ready to bite. She shuddered. The snakes made her flesh creep, but she'd never dare tell Rydon that. The amulet was his only connection to his past, the only clue to the origins of the violet-eyed baby boy left on the shores of the Tigris River 12 years ago. According to her father, Rydon's tiny hand could not be pried from the amulet when he was found. He only released it once he was brought to live with Zardy's family, as decreed by Sholton Shrow. A mightier monster had never been seen, Sinbad's voice suddenly boomed, and Zardy found herself sucked back into the captain's story. He had three heads, teeth as sharp as sabers, and claws made to slice and dice. With a flourish, Sinbad released his sword from its leather scabbard and made to parry and thrust right there on the deck of his ship. We battled the beast from dawn until dusk, and finally it began to tire. Sinbad stabbed his weapon forward with a cry. My blade found its belly, and the rest, as they say, is history. He sheathed his sword nonchalantly. The beast was slain, my men and I entered the cave, and our fortunes were made.